Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. And let's go ahead and stand and turn to page 29, At the Cross.
Amen.
Page 29.
Paul, start there.
Jeremiah can't outdo me.
That's right. You just thought we were starting there.
All right, now we're ready.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred hand for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace, and love, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, like the sun in darkness high, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, then the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Brother Stephen, you mind opening some prayer this morning?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be come to your house today, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful weather. Oh, Lord, have you taken good care of us,
yes,
Lord, protected us through this time of despair and stuff, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as the preaching goes forth today,
yes,
Lord, it fall on our hearts, Lord, and it change our lives. And I pray,
yes,
that you just do a mighty work in our midst, Lord. I pray that the times that we fail you come short, Lord, that you might forgive us, that you just use us for your honor and glory, Lord. And we're excited to be here today and excited what you have in store, God. And I pray you just speak to our hearts and pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Y'all may be seated. All right, let's turn to page 65, just over in Glory Land.
Amen.
Page 65.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. sings God's praise and His glory share. Just over in His glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join in happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. There with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. Joyful thought that my Lord I'll see just over in the glory land. Heaven kindred say there forever be just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I'll join the happy angel band just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with the blood washed long I'll shout and sing. Just over in the glory land, glad Hosanna to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. There with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Amen.
Amen. Sure is good to be here today. I appreciate seeing everyone. I'm glad you can see me and I can see you. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, because on Sunday nights when you're at the house, I can't see you. Amen. Brother Stephen could be picking his nose and I wouldn't know it. Amen. And, well, Allie could too. Amen. Amen. Well, I praise the Lord for you. I'm thankful. It's good to. I seen Brother John Ridings was on again with us today. And so do pray for them. Of course, they're in El Paso and also in Juarez, Mexico. And keep them in prayer and their safety. I know Brother Ed, I had seen they had service yesterday, had everyone in mask all lined up. And actually, I say yesterday, it was really our night. They've already had all their services and I guess finishing up probably their evening service right now. And just having a good time in the Lord. And I'm thankful for God's safety. And I ask you to continue to pray for us as a church. And promote the YouTube. Keep letting people know. We're up to 117 subscribers. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? I don't look to get paid from YouTube. That's not the point of it. But I would like to be able to not have to use a third party and just push a button so that we can go live. That makes it also when the preacher forgets to put it on that I can just go live right then. Amen. And put everything up to date. And so just pray about that, promote that, let others know. Also, I believe it's the truth. There's a whole lot of lies out there, amen. But I still believe that the Word of God is still true and that God still backs His Word, amen. And so let them know, hey, listen, you're tired of the lies of the media? Come get some truth, amen, amen. Also with that, don't forget Tuesday. Our services will be at 7 o'clock on Tuesday this week instead of Wednesday. That'll allow those that are going to cook or travel or whatever. With it as well, be mindful. Don't forget that what you do affects everyone else. All right? And I know the CDC's recommending limited travel. I'm thankful for God's safety for us. I think that we're ranked right now at 47th of all the states for COVID. Hey, listen, that means there's only three that have less than us. Amen. And I'm thankful for that safety that God's given us. But do be wise. It goes back to that gray matter that we have between our ears. Be wise with what God's given us. And don't do anything you don't need to do. Now, with that, while you're eating your turkey on Thursday, I want you to think about Sister Jolynn's going to be having a birthday. And so while you're eating turkey and cranberry sauce, she'll be having birthday cake. Amen. I mean, you still got to eat turkey. All right, so. Amen. I didn't say the turkey was having a birthday. Amen. She said she was fruitcake. I mean, said she was going to have fruitcake. Amen. But amen. Well, I'm thankful for the Suttons. They travel a whole long ways to get here. And thankful for them. And it's a blessing to be able to sing happy birthday. Brother Derek's going to have a birthday on Friday as well. Several going on this week. But getting older. Say, preacher, I don't want to get older. Well, there's an alternative. It's called death. Amen. I'm thankful. Listen, I'll be here as long as the Lord wants me to be, and then I'm just not going to have any more deaths. Amen. Amen. So let's sing happy birthday to Sister JoLynn, and then we've got a special treat for you today. Amen. All right, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Well, choir, did you notice that if you're in the choir, that you have a hymn book or a choir book sitting in your pew? Some of you have two. I didn't think that Caleb and Callie wanted to have to share with four there. Amen. So I was nice. But we're going to sing a choir special today from our pews. You say, preacher, how's that going to work? You're going to stand up and sing. Amen. 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 And brother, do you want me to put your book up here for you? All right. Now you got enough cord, you're plugged in. Don't let it yank you away. Amen. All right. So I had been singing this morning and said, you know, it's time. We haven't had a choir special in a long time. And we don't have enough choir loft to space out 6 foot per. And you're going to sound kind of singing like this. Amen. So we're just going to sing from our pew. Amen. All right, brother. Amen.
I want y'all to sing out now, and this is a great song. So much to thank Him for. Page number 10. Page number 10. I don't know about y'all, but God has been especially good to us this year, and me and Edra, my family, and I can't thank Him enough for His blessings, I'll tell you that. So we start on page number 10 here. We don't start on the chorus on this. Okay, everybody ready? Let's stand, please.
When I look around and see the good things He does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. But His blessings He freely gives, and I owe my life to Him. I've got so much. Sometimes while on this way I kneel and I stop and say thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, so much. And
awesome. That's a good song for Thanksgiving. Amen. That's a good one.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand and turn to page 12. Blessed Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
That was a good choir song. Good pick.
Up in Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk out with labor, weary and mourn, facing poor sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer. Precious Redeemer, see now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, wild and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive. Precious Redeemer, sing now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, poor sinners bleeding, wild and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I find in through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, sing now I see him on Calvary's tree.
Blessing to be here. Thankful for how God's met with us already. And we do have a reason to shout today. We have a reason to rejoice, reason to be thankful. I'm going to kind of stay with tradition, and I hate to say that I'm going to stay with tradition because you know how I am about traditions. But this is going to be a Thanksgiving message. I don't know that we're really ever thankful enough. I don't know that we've really ever got our eyes focused enough on Him and what He's done. But I'd like to read a whole chapter to you today. I know you're going, oh, preacher. Whoo! What has this preacher got under his crawl today? Well, Sister Kathy fixed some really hot tater salad, so I'm gonna preach hot today. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Psalm chapter number 30. Psalm chapter number 30. Amen. Psalm chapter 30. And we're going to look at this whole chapter. I'm not going to preach it all this morning. And you can say amen right there. I'll preach the rest of it tonight. I think I've got 5 verses for you this morning, and the others are going to be tonight. Amen. And I do believe that this is what God would have for us today. You know, I'm thankful we can turn anywhere in God's Word, and that's what He wants for us. Amen. And I am thankful. I think about Dr. Raymond Barber. He would always say, as he opened up the Bible, he said, let's open up the mind of God. Amen. And we can truly see what God's mind is through His Word. Psalm chapter number 30. If you're there, let's go ahead and we'll stand. I am going to read all 12 verses just so that you see the context of everything. One of the problems with preaching today is so many preachers take it out of context of what God really wants. Change it into what man wants. Psalm 30, verse number 1. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing, in verse number 4, unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. In verse 11, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end of my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to Thee forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do rejoice in Your goodness. Lord, I do rejoice in how You've touched and how You've moved thus far in the service. But Lord, I know You're not done. I know You want to show Yourself real today to Your people, Lord. And Father, I pray You'd meet with us. Lord, this year has not caught You off guard, but yet Your people have seen a year like none other. And Lord, the uncertainties of 2020 seem to shadow over 2021. And Lord, as we're looking ahead and we're looking that direction, Father, we could have nothing but gray days. But Lord, I'm thankful for there's no need for a physical sun. For the sun, S-O-N, will be the light thereof. And Lord, that You would be the light in our life. And then, Father, those gray days that it seems like we have nothing to be joyous about, nothing to be thankful for, Lord, that we would just get our eyes fixed on You. And the things above, Lord, I pray, help us today that we would see a fresh thought of thanksgiving. And Lord, I just pray Your will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I would say that Thanksgiving is the least recognized of all the holidays, and has been for years. I remember even growing up as a child, it's not that Thanksgiving wasn't important, it was a time that we got a few days off. Now, we didn't get weeks off from school around Thanksgiving, but we did get at least Thanksgiving Day, and then the day after Thanksgiving, of course, Saturday and Sunday, and then you're back to school on Monday. And boy, that was a reason for a child to rejoice. You got a couple of days off, and you didn't have to make them up at the end of school. Amen. And so it was already accounted, and yet I don't remember when it becomes so commercialized that the only ones that really care about Thanksgiving seem to be Tyson or Jenny O. Maybe even some Ocean Spray, they'd be able to sell a little bit of extra cranberries. You know, some stuffing companies can convince you that, you know, to buy their stuffing or whatever. I don't know, maybe you're a stovetop person, but it's just that drive. But may I tell you, this year it's been a little bit different. This year, people put up Christmas before October was even over. In fact, most had even put up Christmas before fall was officially here. And you say, "Preacher, I don't have mine up yet." Well, you're late. If you'd look at society, society would say you're late. You say, "Well, preacher, why did they do that?" Because they were looking for some empty hope in a holiday event. Now, you say, "Preacher, are you saying that there's no hope in Christmas?" Listen to me. I'm not going to chase the Christmas rabbit right now. Yeah, I know some of you are going to go, "I thought that was Easter." But I'm not going to chase that Christmas rabbit right now. But in the same fact, I will tell you that the suicide rate is highest after Christmas, because people didn't find the joy that they thought they were going to have because they were celebrating a holiday.
Right.
Instead of understanding that, oh, by the way, in the Bible it never says to celebrate his birth. It says, remember his death.
Amen.
Amen. And so, as I think about it, and I know you're going to say, "Preacher, don't you celebrate Christmas?" We do at our house. We're going to have a tree. We're going to have lights. And I don't care. You say, I know some preachers would say, "Oh, well, I just think that a tree's pagan, and you're going to bow down to it." Listen, I don't bow down to the tree. I don't worship the tree. I could care less if we put up a tree. But in the same sense, it's the holiday and we're going to put it up. Amen. That's just like we're going to have Turkey Thursday. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'd rather have Boston butt. Amen. Just a thought. And you don't get tired afterwards. Just sick of your stomach if you eat too much. Amen. How many people have grumbled and complained and worried about this year? I mean, honestly, is that not why they've bypassed Thanksgiving? Nothing to really be thankful for. I mean, is it not amazing, our government and the turmoil and the confusion and everything that's going on? I don't care who you voted for. May I tell you, neither one of them are the answer. Amen. Neither one of them are really going to bring great success, because until the country turns back to the Lord, hold on, it's not the country, it's until the church turns back to the Lord that you're going to see something happen. And right now you're going to see something happen, you're just not going to like it. But the child of God, Thanksgiving should be a daily event in our heart. I look here at this passage of Scripture and I can't help but remember the fact that David is dedicating his house. Now I know, when I think about the babies, we just heard them saying amen, since none of the rest of you would, amen. And we just heard them. But I think about families as they would bring, and I'm not talking about baptizing a baby. That's just worthless anyway. I remember Jeremiah, we washed him as a baby. Amen. Those babies get baths. They don't need the preacher to come up and sprinkle them, because I do nothing for them. Amen. But I know of some families, and we dedicated Jeremiah when he was born. We just didn't bring him up to the church. You know where we did it? At the house. Yeah, actually, I believe it was the hospital. As we were there at his bed, and we said, "Lord, you've given him to us, and we give him back to you."
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. And David here is dedicating his house. And listen, what a better thing to do than say, "Lord, you've blessed me with this, and now I want to be a blessing to you." And I know that David's heart, if we would look at David's life, his heart and his desire was to build a house of God. And God said, "No, you're a man of war. You got too much blood on your hands, but your son will." But I wonder how many people really come and they dedicate something to the Lord out of sincerity or just out of ceremony. It's what you're supposed to do. May I tell you what Thanksgiving has become in America? A ceremony. Yeah, well, and gluttony. I don't know. Listen, I am so out of touch with the sports anymore. I don't even know if they're going to have a Macy's Day parade or they're going to have a football games afterwards. You say, "Preacher, they're playing football." I don't know. I don't know. That's how much it matters to me. It doesn't at all. Amen. You say, "Preacher, don't you know what's going on?" No. I know what's going on. I look here and I find that so many people have Thanksgiving, and I would even hate to say that these are those that profess to be a child of God, that they have Thanksgiving down as a ceremony. And these are people who are going to sit down, who have not had one thought of God since last year at Thanksgiving when they sat down, and they're going to sit down as a family and with all of their mockery and all of their just wickedness, and they're going to pray to some God, and they're going to thank Him for something that He didn't give them anyway. Hello? It's amazing to me at how many people are okay with the things that keep them away from God, and they thank God for giving it. It's not from God. Not from the God. It's from your God. Hello, some of you will get that in the middle of the night. You're going to wake up and go, oh, I got it. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Does that mean 2020? Absolutely. Has it not been a crazy... Can we not sit back and laugh? I mean, honestly. Hey, I know you're going, preacher, it's not really a laughing matter. It doesn't have me stressed. It doesn't. Because I know, hey, listen, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to get up and I'm going to follow the Lord and everything's going to be fine. He's still in the ship with me, or may I tell you, I'm still in the ship with Him. Amen. And so I look here and I think about the fact that I can give Him thanks in 2020. It's been a good year. I know everyone's going, boy, preacher, I don't know how in the world you can say it's good. And we've got Congress doing their thing and the Senate doing their thing. And everything's just fighting and turmoil and there's hatred within our country. I'm not saying that those things are good, but I'm telling you that God's still good. And none of those things really affect me. I know you're going to go, preacher, how do they not affect you? Because the lawmakers affect us, do they not? Well, to a point. To a point. But they don't even follow their own laws, do they? Just a thought. I'm not telling you to break the law, by no means. But I am telling you that I know who the real lawgiver is. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 15, the Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. I wonder how many times in our grumbling and murmuring and complaining, we're giving thanks to God. May I tell you who led you here? And yet you're complaining about the day He gave you. Hold on. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help you a little bit. I've told you before, I don't like to be around people that are complainers. Brother Stephen, I'd much rather be around someone that's happy and go lucky and let's just go, let's have a good time. You say, preacher, I mean, what about when you're struggling and trying to concentrate? Sure, there's a time to be serious, but may I tell you that if you're serious and all you're doing is griping about everything that you don't have, it doesn't make it better for what you do have. Amen. I think about Job. Boy, if Job would have sat around that very first time and said, boy, you know, Lord, I had all this fortune, I had all this family, I had all this blessing, and now I don't have it. How much worse would he have been when he was vexed in his own body? May I tell you, it wouldn't have changed a thing. He still would have been vexed in his own body. Just been more miserable in it. May I tell you, so many times, because we aren't thankful, we're miserable people. We're miserable people. God's desire for us to be thankful in everything is not just so that He gets the praise and the glory for it. It has to do with our mindset. It really does. It has to do with our mindset. In the mindset of the fact that, hey, I'm blessed. Brother James, I almost had Jacob grab my banjo from the house in case you wanted to sing I Am Blessed. Because I usually play that one on the banjo, and I'm telling you, that's a Thanksgiving song every day of my life. I'm still blessed. Amen. I'm blessed every day. I was thinking about God is so good, and the fact that I've got plenty to eat. I've got shoes on my feet. Amen. I had a bed to sleep in last night. I know where I'm going today. I know everything that's taken, how God's going to be there. I have no reason to complain. And so I just simply titled this, Giving Thanks, The Least I Can Do. The Least I Can Do. Notice this, if you would, in verses 1 through 3, I find the rejoicing of thanksgiving. The rejoicing of thanksgiving. Notice, if you would, I will extol thee. That word extol means praise. By the way, the will there means he's going to do it. It's not, that's actually present tense. That's not future tense. I know you're going to say, well, I will go home or I will do this. No, no, no. He's speaking present tense. He's speaking that I'm going to do this right now. I'm not going to wait for another time. You know what happens when we quit rejoicing in the Lord? You know what happens when we say that we're going to do it later? We forget to do it. I can't tell you how many times that I will set off to do something and I'm going to do five other things when I'm doing it. And then I come back and I realize that I still have four other things that I just didn't do because I'd forgot to do it. You know what we usually forget to do? Praise God. I'm serious. Through the day, all the times that you see something, you know, just the little things. If you'd start counting them up, and I know that the songwriter said, count your many blessings. And so often in our lives, we forget that we have many blessings every day. Yeah. Amen. And with that, we aren't rejoicing. Notice, if you would. He goes on and he says, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and thou hast not made my foes rejoice over me. I want to go ahead and preach this real quick in the idea of deliverance from my enemies. Hey, the rejoicing of thanksgiving is, first of all, I have deliverance from my enemies. Hold on. Let me say that louder. I have deliverance from mine enemies. Do you realize what a blessing that is? That there is no one that can take victory over me because he's given my foes no place above me. I have deliverance from my enemies. Look at what he's done. He's defeated my enemies. Hold on, let me tell you enemy number one, Satan. Enemy number one, Satan. I'm telling you, this world out there that says that there is no God is believing the lie of the one that wants to destroy them the most. And he will not quit. Even once you get saved, he's going to be there. He's going to show you he's your enemy. He's your enemy. He's your enemy. But I'm thankful at Calvary, God removed the teeth from the lion and he no longer has victory over me. May I tell you the next enemy that he's given me victory over? Is the world. Is the world. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought you was going to say self. No, that, hold on a second. This world hates you. This world hates you. Hates where you stand. They're okay with us meeting in church right now. You know, I was thinking, what's going to happen in a few years when we have to go into hiding? I said, preacher, are you one of those? No, I'm just saying, what, you mean real? There's going to be a day where standing in the name of Jesus Christ is going to be an offense in such a way that you can't say it anymore. You look at the movement of America today. Look at the direction that it's going. There's coming a day where me preaching against lifestyles that the Bible says is wrong. We could even go with alcohol. It's offensive. Amen. You know, it's funny to me. My shop is an amphitheater. Now, I didn't build it this way on purpose, but I've got a metal shop. It's got the kitchen in the back is stick built. It's all wooden, but it's sheetrocked and insulated. And my speakers project out the front door, which it's a 25 foot wide shop. It's 30 foot of metal, and the speakers are at the back wall. And then I have a 10 foot door that's in the front. It's a 10 by 10. And, well, that's at the front of the shop. And so when I have that door open and I have the music going in that shop and it just projects out and it carries a long ways, doesn't it, Mama? Now, I don't turn it up loud. It doesn't have to be loud in there for it to carry a long ways. It just goes. But our neighbors don't like it a whole lot. They don't. They don't like it a whole lot at all. And then my son has train horns. And they don't like those a whole lot either. Now, I don't know why he has train horns. He just has train horns. Amen. So anyway, but that's offensive. But profanity, when I have to send my wife and my child into the house while we finish up the chores that's got to get done before I can get in too, because of the profanity that comes out of the neighborhood, that's not offensive. You understand what I'm saying? God's delivered me from the enemy. From Satan, from the world, and from self. I carry him along with me. And he's always there to tell me, hey, that sounds like a good idea. You know, God's delivered me from self. This old flesh, we can crucify him and let him die and quit feeding him. And we've got victory over him because he's defeated. Because my Lord has defeated him. I want you to take your place. Hold your place now in Psalm 30. I want you to look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me give you some scripture to go with this. 1 Peter chapter 5. This isn't stuff I've made up. Amen. Isn't that good? It'd sound good if I made it up, but God gave it to us already. Amen. I'm just reminded of Psalm 107 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Isn't that good? Woo! We ought to be shouting today. We ought to be just rejoicing in what God's doing and say, hey, I'm the redeemed. I can tell you what God's done in my life. Amen. I didn't mean to scare the babies. Amen. Seen this whole side over here just jump. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him. Hold on a second. I'm going to preach tonight, starting in verse number 6, but may I tell you that many times our cares keep us from thanksgiving. He says, cast all your cares upon me. He says, cast them all upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Hey, hold on a second, that's our enemy. I don't know if you've ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress, but Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, I think about Christian as he's walking down that road and there was lions tied up. Now, he didn't realize that at first, but they're chained. Hey, man, you know that's what my Savior's done? Oh, he didn't just remove the teeth. He's made it to where he can't come over and, Jacob, I want to come and maul you. Amen. He can't do it. He can't reach him. You know how great it is to realize that God has given us that victory, because my adversary the devil is a roaring lion, whom walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, you don't have to be devoured today. Amen. I go on down. I find whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought he gave us victory. He did, because he's with us. I haven't quoted it in a while, but I think about Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. And let us be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have a reason to steadfast in the faith. We have a reason to continue down. We have a reason to resist our enemies. But then I find in verse number 10, he says, but God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him, notice this, don't get after me for changing the word of God, but can I use it in context? Listen to this. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Would that not be the same as to him be thanksgiving? Be thankful. Hey, listen. It doesn't matter about what's going on in this world. Just be thankful for the fact that we're delivered. Delivered from our enemy. But then I find as well that he didn't just deliver me from my enemy. He delivered me for all eternity. Hey, it's not the fact that Satan's going to be able to get loosed. It's not the fact that this world's going to be able to wreak havoc on me. No, 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 no. They're always going to be bound. And I have eternal life. You say, how do you know that? Well, because he gave it to me. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I have victory in Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, my name's written down. I know my name is there. I'm glad the day that he wrote it in, it was written in such a way that it can never be erased. Otherwise, it wouldn't be victory, would it? It could be potential defeat. But no, I have victory. I have victory. I've been delivered. Look back at our text in Psalm 30. Look at verse number 2 and 3. Look at verse number 2 and 3 of our text. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. May I tell you, so many people take these out of context, and they go, boy, you know... I've got a sickness, I've got a disease, and God's healed my disease. May I tell you, the greatest disease God ever healed anyone from was sin. Amen. And may I tell you that you might not, Brother Russell, we were talking about Katie earlier today. I remember when I had helped preach Katie's funeral, Katie couldn't breathe. She had cystic fibrosis, diagnosed since 6 months old, and I remember when she had passed away, she had a double lung transplant. Still, oh yeah, it allowed her to have a little bit longer, a little bit, I hate to say normal, because it's not normal anytime you have a transplant. But may I tell you that she was completely healed when she opened her eyes in heaven? Amen. And there's some with a physical ailment that you might not get the healing when you think you're going to get the healing. But I'm thankful, if you were to look on down into verse number 3, he tells him there, the psalmist here, David, he's writing, he says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. You say, preacher, he wasn't dead. Oh, the Bible says, ye who he hath quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, my dear friend, the one that's still trusting in themselves, the one that does not know Jesus as their Savior, has no hope for tomorrow. But they're already in the grave. It's already confirmed. They're already condemned. I'm not condemning them. I'm just trying to tell them the truth, that you have no hope in self. But there's full deliverance in him. And may I tell you, it's not when you get to the other side. It's immediately. That one with cancer that's been praying and praying and praying, and boy, it just doesn't seem like it's going to get any better. May I tell you, if they're born again and they get to heaven, may I tell you what they're not going to have? They're completely healed. God healed them. But I'm thankful for that sinner that's here that calls upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm thankful that it's the moment that we call upon Him that He raises up our soul from the pit. It's the fact that we are saved now for all eternity. And I don't have to wait. I have a reason to shout, folks. I have a reason to shout. I have a reason to be thankful. Notice, if you would, I find in verse number 4 of our text, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. I find here the remembrance of thanksgiving. The remembrance of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not the what we're thankful for. May I tell you that we live in a material world? We really do. It's all measured on things, on stuff. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have, but it's wrong when our possessions have us. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 27 and verse number 20, says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. We are a material world. Why do you think there's so many people that are griping and complaining about this year? Because it hasn't been the way they wanted it to be. I haven't received what I wanted. Even if it's stress. I don't know. Maybe you're in here and you say, preacher, you don't know the situation I'm in. And I get it. I don't. But I do know that you worrying about it isn't changing it. I'm You concerned with it, it's not changing it. If you're really concerned about it, pray about it. Amen. And then leave it in His hands. And so I look at this and understand that so many people are only thankful for what they get from the Lord. Well, God must not love me because I have this, or I have this problem, or this is going on, or there's been this storm and it's wiped out communities and all these people have died, and so God must not love me. May I tell you, God proved His love on Calvary when He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. There's no greater love hath man known, amen, than a man lay down his life for his friends. May I tell you what Jesus did? He laid down His life for His friends. And we've got this material world that says it's not about the who, but it's about the what. But may I tell you that true godly thanksgiving is not about the what, but the who.
Amen.
And so I find here in this verse, in verse number 4, it tells us here that when I'm reminded of His holiness, we should just shout out thanksgivings. We should just be praising Him. We should just be letting others know. May I tell you that this is His very first attribute? You know what bothers me so much? Is people don't realize how holy God is. And really, we could say that from the pulpit to the pew. But we've got a world out there that has twisted and contorted God to where they've removed the holiness of God. You don't have God of this Bible without the holiness of God of this Bible. You see, that's His very first attribute or His very first characteristic. You can't have God and not have holiness. And so I look here and I find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16, it says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." May I tell you that what God's desire is in our holiness is to be like Him. Amen. And so he tells us here, the psalmist tells us, he says, sing unto the Lord. Now notice who he says, sing. O ye saints of His. Now I know you say, preacher, that was kind of crazy. You had the choir stand up in the pews and sing a choir special. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. We hadn't done it in a while. We need to sing. Amen. And I just, the Lord put it on my heart. We're going to sing. But you see what the psalmist is saying? David, now picture this now. David is here at his house, and he's dedicating it to the Lord. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. And he begins to give this psalm, and he's talking, and then he cries out and he says, "All ye saints of His, sing out. Hold on, you know the song, sing out with me. Let it ring out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, just continue to let them know." You say, preacher, I don't think that that's the way that God has it to be. Well, we can give thanks for who He is no matter what's going on in this world. I want you to take your Bibles, turn over the book of Habakkuk, and you're going to go, preacher, where in the world is Habakkuk? It's easier if you'll start at Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. So go to Matthew, go to Malachi, and work back 4 books. And I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter number 3. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Now while you're turning there, and I'll give you time, while you're turning there, I want to remind you about Habakkuk and who he is and how God's using him. And in Habakkuk's life, by the 3rd chapter, he's really seen an Israel that would not turn to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, just revive your work in chapter number 3. Just do a work here in Israel, in me, and let your work be revived. And then Habakkuk realizes, for God's work to be revived, there's going to be some things that are going to change. May I tell you, real revival would change this church, would change this community, would change this state, would change this country. But I want you to look on over into verse number 17. Verse number 17 of Habakkuk chapter number 3 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You realize he just described 2020? He said, Lord, you know, although there be all of this, look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Listen, what did Habakkuk say here? He said, look at all that's going on. Look at how bad it is. But it's not about the what, it's about the who. And when I see what God is and who God is and how holy God is, I'm just going to rejoice in Him. I'm going to have joy in Him. You say, preacher, what's that have to do with Thanksgiving? Everything. Everything. Because may I tell you, and the one that you're rejoicing in is the one that you're thankful for. Amen. I'm reminded now, if you've got it, take the Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter number 2. I didn't know if I was going to take you there or not, but I want to take you there. Luke chapter number 2. I want to give you the birth of Christ. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Just to get you in context here, look at verse number 13, Luke chapter 2, verse number 13. And Gabriel is meeting up with the shepherds, the first stinkers to go see the Savior. Amen. You say, preacher, why would you call them that? Because we're just like those old shepherds, just a bunch of stinking sinners. Amen. And I look here, and Gabriel's talking to him, and he says, look, don't fear, no fear. But I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Why is it? Well, that means the gospel. I'm going to bring you the gospel. Jesus is the gospel, by the way. It's not that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have four different gospels. No, they're the gospel accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry, but Jesus is the gospel. It's good news. He's all that we need.
Amen.
And so I find here that Gabriel's speaking to them. And notice this. He tells them in verse number 12, he's telling them that they're going to receive a sign, they're going to see the babe lying in the manger, but look on down in verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, can I bring this into you? This is how we need to be. This is really what it is. I mean... let's picture us as those angels just on the sideline. I can see them now. They're just kind of standing over here. And old Gabriel, he's in the center. He's talking to the shepherds out there. And he's telling them, hey, look, Jesus has been born. He's the Messiah. He's the one. He is God in the flesh. And boy, you're going to get to go, and you're going to get to see Him there in Bethlehem. He's going to be in the manger. And now listen, those angels over here, they're on the sideline. They're just they're getting... Ooh, it's just getting good. And then all of a sudden, I can see him breaking in. Glory! Glory to God! Yes! Glory in the highest! Hey, listen, I know you're going to say, preacher, this is just crazy. I could never do this. This is 2020. That's the problem. This is 2020. What would happen if someone starts saying about how bad their day is? And instead of being a mockery and saying it, well, praise the Lord. No, we'd really go, God's good! Oh, hallelujah! I know you're going to say, well, preacher, they're just telling me that their loved one died. Praise the Lord. Their loved one saved. May I tell you, they don't want to come back. Amen! You said, but preacher, what if their loved one wasn't saved? Well, glory to God. That wasn't God's fault. I know you're going to say, preacher, that's awful mean. God didn't send anyone to hell. You had to choose.
Yeah.
Amen. He loves you. Wants to save you. Is He not worthy to be praised?
Amen.
Amen. And so I look here and I find in verse number 5. Verse number 5, the Bible says, for His anger endureth but a moment. in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, or for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I find the repentance of thanksgiving. I know you're going to say, preacher, where in the world do you get that? In the very first part, he says, for his anger endureth but a moment. I'm reminded of verse number 4 as I see his holiness. I'm reminded of my failures as his child. Can I tell you who this is that's writing this psalm? And I know you're going to say, preacher, this is the Holy Spirit through David. I get it. But I want to remind you about David. There's no one that knew his failures any more than David. Jeremiah had got up here last Sunday night after service. We turned the camera off, and he pulls that chair up, and he comes up to the pulpit and preaches for a little bit. And he was preaching last Sunday night, and he was preaching about Goliath and David. We're always reminded about David's great victory with Goliath and how David came in faith. And he said that it wasn't the fact that he was going, but he was going in the name of the Lord. This is the same David that went and was willing to fight by faith against a man that none of the army of Israel, including the king, would fight against. You say, well, preacher, that's a great victory. Yeah. But then don't you think that those songs that they sang, as much as they irritated Saul, don't you think that they began to lift David up? You know that song of how Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000s. You know, when David became a little bit prideful, you remember how Saul was wanting to kill David, and he said, well, it wouldn't be right for me to do it, so I'm going to have the Philistines do it. And so he said, all right, you want my daughter, this is what you got to do. And so David went out and he got twice as much as he needed. You say, preacher, how's that prideful? Did he go in the name of the Lord, or did he go in his strength? Then David fears for his life, and he flees from Saul. May I tell you what he didn't have? Faith in the Lord. God had already anointed him as king. Later in life, he becomes an adulterous man and a murderer. Later in life, he numbers the children of Israel and gets a bunch of them killed. I guess what I'm wanting us to see is when we look at God's holiness, we can't help but look at our failures. Brother Russell, you sang page number 29 at the cross. I think about the worm such as I. You know, there's songbooks that would change that because they don't think it's right and no one wants to be a worm. But it's funny, they don't want to change Amazing Grace. I'm still just a wretched old sinner. And I know that the Bible tells us that we're saved from our sin, but may I tell you that I still fall short of the glory of God daily in my life. I don't know how many have been paying attention. I don't watch a whole lot of news, but I do try to keep up on some of the stuff that our so-called government's doing right now. And I was listening how Mitch McConnell wants to have a $500 billion stimulus pack. And originally Nancy Pelosi was pushing for a $2.2 trillion. And then once the election was over, now she's pushing for a $3.4 trillion and said that we've got to get this done and we've got to push this through. And you say, well, what's that have to do with anything? It's amazing how they can push these numbers. I was counting it up this morning. A trillion is 1 and 12 zeros. That's a lot. Amen. Even for a weaver, that's a lot. Amen. That's a lot of money. How many times do you think you've sinned? And yet God still loves you. And so I think about the repentance of thanksgiving. You say, preacher, I still don't get it. Well, I see my failures. And may I tell you that as a father, There's some times that you correct your children because you love them. The Bible tells us that when we fail, God corrects us into His love. Now, it's not always do I correct them with a spanking. Not always do I do that. Don't think you're too old. But the Bible tells us here that His anger. May I tell you that His anger wasn't towards Himself. His anger wasn't towards His Son. His anger was towards the psalmist. David knew this personally. That I've broke fellowship with the one that I love and the one that loves me. And so I find here is failures, but then I look at or my failure, and then I see His forgiveness. I see His forgiveness. In verse number 5, He says, His anger endureth but a moment. His favor is life. And so I see forgiveness. When we'll turn back to Him, when we acknowledge that we're at the wrong, and we turn back to Him, He will restore in us the joy of our salvation. He will restore in us that joy that we have in Him. I think about the psalmist here in Psalm chapter number 51 and verse number 12. David again, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." He said, "Lord, I'm turning back to you. I've seen because of your anger. I see." But life is within you. Forgiveness is there. And His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, I'm telling you, I can't help but see that not just my failures and His forgiveness, but if you was to add those together, I like math. I've always enjoyed math, and that's just kind of, I guess, the way that I'm designed. I don't know. Blame the Lord for it. Everyone else does, so blame Him for it. But if you was to add my faults or my failures plus God's forgiveness would equal our fellowship. Did you see that? Morning may endureth for the night. Is that what it says? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know why? Because God fully forgives. He fully forgives. He might have sent you to bed because you was in trouble. But in the morning when you get up for breakfast, you know what forgiveness is? He never mentions it again. Hold on a second. Oh, I remember. Jacob, do you remember when you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this? And Jeremiah, do you remember when you disobeyed mom and dad? Yeah, he does. He remembers. I knew he'd say that. Do you, Miss Spencer, do you remember? She didn't disobey me. That's what she said. That's what she says. That's her story. Amen. But listen, that's not forgiveness now, is it? I've tried to make it to where I never bring it back up to my boys. I get after them, I correct them, and I don't bring it back up again. Because that's forgiveness. May I tell you, that's how God does for us. He corrects us. I'm thankful He doesn't go, you remember when you failed me? You know why? Because joy cometh in the morning. I can still rejoice in Him, even though I've failed Him so many times. And can I just be honest with you? I'm going to fail Him tomorrow. And you are too. But joy cometh in the morning. Giving thanks, it's the least I can do. I'm not doing anything special. Remember when thank you used to just be common? Someone held the door for you, you said thank you.
Now it's expected. I'm serious. We don't have a thankful society anymore. But I'm afraid that we aren't thankful for the one that we need to be thankful to as a child of God. You don't owe me anything. You don't have to be thankful. I could do something nice for Allie and she doesn't have to say thank you. And I'm going to be all right. I'm going to sleep tonight. But as a child of God, have we overlooked the one that we need to be thankful for? Have we came to the place where it's really not important? Maybe it's even as we try to say, well, he knows. Maybe it's just the fact that we need to just say, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to be thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm going to be thankful for that forgiveness that I have every morning. It's a new day. I'm going to step out in his grace once again. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I praise you for how you love us. Lord, although I fall short so many times, Lord, you forgive. We have that fellowship because you restore me back to you. Lord, I pray. Maybe there's one today that would say, I'm in that same place. Lord, I pray. And they don't need to bring it to me, but they sure need to bring it to you. Lord, I pray that you would touch that heart. I pray, Father, for maybe there's one lost and undone. Lord, they don't know if they died right now that they're going to go to heaven. Lord, they're not sure where they're going to spend eternity. And Lord, I know if they're not sure that truly they're not saved. Because when you're saved, I know when my name was written down, Lord, I pray you'd speak to that heart today. Show them their need before it's everlasting too late. Lord, help us. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays. I encourage you. God spoke to your heart. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I don't want to come down to the altar just because of everything we've got going on, and that's fine. But you can pray where you are. You want to come to the altar, most of you kind of have assigned spots where you go anyway. That's fine too. You come on.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said,
God speaking to your heart. My dear friend, if you was to die today, you know where you're going to spend eternity.
On his bosom,
greatest
so
need that you have right there, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, if I died right now, that I'm going to go to heaven. If you say, preacher, I hope I'm going to go. Oh, my dear friend, I want you to have more than a hope in yourself. I want you to know that you're going. You're here today as a child of God. When's the last time you've just rejoiced in him? What he's doing and how he's doing. We're living in one of the most confusing and conflicting years of our lives. Yet there's God in heaven still in control.
I love him. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many
God speaking to your heart. You need some time to pray. It'd be a good time. Aren't you glad for a God that loves you so much in spite of you? Loves you so much. He died on the cross. Loves you so much. He forgives you daily.
And adore him when
speak into your heart. I encourage you. Whatever your need. Sing it out, sorry.
To
sing it out.
Every promise He ever made me, I love Him. That's all I want to say. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise?
Always faithful. Amen.